Thank you, Brother Don, for your kindness. I wish I had more passion. I wish I was all that you represented me to be. I know my weakness. The song we just sang, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink." We're going to be talking about strife today, contention. But we're going to be talking about that's what we're not all about, because we're Christians. And this song just really spoke to me. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, and one of those foes is strife, is contention. But we have a faith that will not shrink. And the title of this sermon is "Let Your Conversation Be As It Becometh the Gospel of Christ." Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The definition of conversation, as I found it in Strong's Concordance, is to behave as a citizen. And then these are my comments here as related to the title of this sermon, of the gospel of Christ. To behave as citizens of the gospel of Christ. Another definition of conversation, according to the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, conversation, general course of manners, behavior, deportment, especially as it respects morals of the gospel of Christ. So behavior. Our conversation is behavior. Let your conversation or behavior be as it becometh, as it reflects the gospel of Christ. There are two sides in every conversation, behavior, or how can I put that better? I feel like there are two motivations. One or the other is enticing or inviting us. God's side or the devil's side. The devil is our enemy. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 27, it says, "Only let your conversation, behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast." What do you do with this behavior? What is your behavior? "Ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." The goal, that you stand fast in one spirit, of one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Our purpose is to strive together for the faith of the gospel of Christ. Third book of Nephi, chapter 12, in verse 34, beginning in verse 34, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel." So in this last verse, we found out our goal is to strive together for the faith of the gospel of Christ. So what is the gospel of Christ? Here, Christ tells us in the Book of Mormon, third book of Nephi, chapter 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. To do, this is one thing we need to do. I'm going to have a few to-dos in this sermon. To do, let your conversation, your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for his friends, for you and I. He gave up his own will. He was tempted like we are, with the same temptations, to help us in our time of need. But what did he do when he was tempted by his own flesh to do something? He didn't do the will of the flesh. He did the will of the Father. He obeyed the Father in everything. And he gave his life for us. He sacrificed his own will, even to the cross. He sacrificed his life, himself, for us. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation, that word consolation means comfort, refreshing of the mind. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Let ye be like-minded, having the same love as who? The first verse says, if there be any consolation in Christ. So we are to be like-minded, verse 2 says, with Christ. We are to have the same love of Christ. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, striving together, of one mind. Is there any consolation, comfort in Christ? Is there any comfort of love in Christ? Yes, there is. We know it. We've felt it. We've experienced it. And so what is our to-do? To love, love, love. We've been hearing over and over this month sermons on charity, on love. There's purpose in that message over and over and over. Love, love, love. Be like-minded to Christ. Give comfort in love. Verse 3, and still in Philippians chapter 2, let nothing, nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each, everyone, esteem other better than themselves. That means you all are all better than me. I need to love you. I need to love you all. Seek your good before I seek for my own. Look not every man on his own things. Don't try to do your own will, but every man also on the things of others. You know, I would think that in our, I'm going to use the word conversation as we know it, in our conversation, when we're looking on the things of others, that would mean we'd listen to one another. I know that in my marriage, if I listen to my wife, that's a good thing. And that so it is in our relationships with one another. We can learn all kinds of things if we listen. Don't do anything for strife or contention or vain glory. We were told earlier this week that we should not fast for strife. And I'm sorry, I don't know if that was Wednesday night or in our ministry. It was in our ministry meeting. But I think it was also Wednesday night because we were talking about fasting. And when our brother Jim talked about it, I think this was brought up as well. But we should not fast for strife or contention, but to draw near to God. Neither should we converse for strife or contention or vainglory. And that vainglory is being excited by one's own performance. So in a conversation, if I get up to excite myself or others with the performance of my words, that's vainglory. And we're not to do that. Third book of Nephi, chapter 5, beginning in verse 30. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention, this is Christ speaking, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, which is the father of contention. And he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with one another, with anger one with another. So now we know what the goal of the devil is. The goal of the devil is that you and I contend, argue, fight, so that we'll get angry with one another. And why would he want to do that? Well, in marriages he does it so that they'll divorce and so that the children will be affected. Same reason he does it in church. He does it so that we will divide and our children will be affected. But we are not going to let him. Verse 31, behold, this is not my doctrine, says Christ, to stir up the hearts of men with anger one against another. But this is my doctrine, that such things should be done away. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. It's so easy to offend. It's so easy to say something that will hurt somebody else. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Are you perfect? I'm not there yet. Got a long way to go. And so I know it's very easy for me to offend someone else. So I know I've got to watch my tongue. If any offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, continuing in verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. They'll go where we want them to go. And we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindreth. What great things the tongue can do. And I'm going to mention this later on, but I have to mention it here as well. I don't know, maybe, no. Brother Sean mentioned this in our ministry meeting last Tuesday night. How we can hurt, how we can cut, he said, someone else with our words and destroy them. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell, of the devil. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. We need God. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And this is where I say, this is Brother Sean speaking. I didn't ask you permission, but I didn't think you'd mind. I heard a brother say this week, we can cut each other and hurt each other with our words. We can destroy each other with our words. Continuing in verse 9, therewith, with our tongue, bless we God. We praise him in our prayers. Even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We are made in God's likeness. We are his creation. And yet we will speak against one another so easily. Do you do that? I do on occasion. And it is evil. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be, ought not so to be. Verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. From this heart, if it's filled with strife, if it's filled with assumptions about brothers and sisters, can't be filled with the love of God. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of the good conversation, behavior, his works with meekness and wisdom. There's another to do, and I don't think I put that one down. Be meek, be wise, out of the love of God in your hearts. Verse 14, but if ye be bitter, if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, don't be proud, and lie not against the truth. Repent. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. This is Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember, we're wanting to do and be. We're wanting to do what Jesus did. We're wanting we're wanting to follow after his spirit, to be followers of him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And this is what his mind was. This is what he did. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When I think of the first two great commandments, to love God and to love one another, if I could be obedient to that unto death, what a light I could be in this world, not only in the church but beyond, if it reflected in my conversation, in the things I said with my tongue to those around me. What a light I could be in this world. This is what Christ did. He was a servant. He humbled himself. He was obedient unto death. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That word disputings is strife, contention, arguing. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, no need for someone to rebuke you, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So how do we be as lights in the world? What we don't do is murmur or dispute. What we do, this is our to-do list, be blameless, be harmless, and be the sons and daughters of God. Be followers of Christ. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. If you feel tempted to get angry, to argue, find a joy. Why? Because it will, I don't want to add to God's word, but I believe this is in God's word. When we're tempted to do wrong, it's because the devil wants to change us. We're doing something right. And brothers and sisters, we've been doing stuff right. We've been loving one another. We've been serving one another. We've been getting to know each other, and we're working towards one goal together. And the devil has a plan to divide us. And so when we fall into these temptations to divide, count it all joy because we're doing something right. Yet we have this issue to strive together with, to love one another through. It says, knowing this, that to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith together, the trying of your faith worketh patience. We learn, if we learn together how to be patient with one another, then we can be patient with those who are in the world and love them as we love one another. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, having no more need. That's the goal, perfection, where we have no more need to change. God commanded us to be perfect. We're not there, but that's the direction we're going. James 1, or continuing in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, if you have that temptation, a temptation, multiple temptations, ask of God. Let him ask of God. Let me go back. If any of you lack wisdom, if there's something you don't understand, if you feel the lack of God's guidance in your life, if you recognize that you're being led by your own will, ask God for His understanding. If you have temptations, ask God for His help. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, and that men there is including women, who giveth to all men liberally, freely, abundantly, and upbraideth not. He wants us to ask him, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And this verse here, you know, I always think of that and think, oh no, I waver sometimes. Well, that faith that says in Ephesians chapter 2 is a gift of God. So even that we can ask for and get. So if you feel you waver, ask him for that faith that you need for him to give you what you need to serve him. Okay, jumping to verse 18. This is regarding God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Be like him. He created us so we would be like him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Remember, I talked a little bit before about listening. So often, and we hear this often because it's true, so often we wait for somebody to get done with what they're saying so we can say what we want to say. Meaning we're not listening. We are not swift to hear. But God commands us so that we can be like him. We have to be swift to hear, because God doesn't only speak to us, doesn't only speak to me, he speaks to you. And sometimes he speaks to you something that he hasn't spoken yet to me, and I might need to hear it through you. So I'd better be willing to listen to you. I'd better be swift to hear, and we'd better be swift to hear God. That means we're willing to listen to him. That means when we pray, we give him time to respond. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we argue, righteousness is not going to come out of that. If we love, righteousness will come out of that. That doesn't mean we don't discuss, but we speak the truth in love. Because we do love one another. We do love one another. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Meekness, ready for the word of God to have effect on my heart. Meekness. I think that word is similar to humble. I've heard that word being defined as quiet strength. Humble is teachable. Allowing ourselves to be taught by God, what he wants to teach us. And that his word says, which is able to save our souls. And that's our goal. my soul be saved, and everyone here and everyone out there, that their souls be saved, because that's God's will. He wills that all might be saved. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I love to read the Word of God. Love it because it has effect on my heart. But sometimes I don't do it. And that's bad. And the commandment is to be doers of the Word, to the saving of the soul. Let your conversation, your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Darren.